Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, today we're going to be talking a little bit about art and gardens. And there are a lot of gardens out there that actually could be considered art because so much work has gone into them.
Right.
And we are happy to welcome today Wanda Sparks and Jan Harrison. They are going to be with us to talk a little bit about the art in the garden at Picacho Hills in Las Cruces. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Well, Wanda, you had reached out to me to tell me about this event, and I'm curious about the history of it. Do you know maybe how far back this garden tour and artist tour?
It started in 2008, and the homeowners association at that time wanted to do something to pull the community together because it is rather an isolated community. And after that first year, the artist association, Artists of Picacho Hills, formed an art club, and the Picacho Hills gardeners were already organized, and they got involved, and we've continued from that point on.
It's really nice to have sort of artists and gardens together, because I guess when you think of art outdoors, you think maybe in an arts and crafts fair, but it's really kind of nice to put art somewhere where it's going to be seen in almost a different type of perspective, being surrounded by nature, so to speak. Jan, if you can maybe tell us a little bit about the art in the garden at Picacho Hills, what can maybe people expect if they were to go to Picacho Hills? And we'll let people know where that is in Las Cruces a little bit later.
It's something that meets almost everyone's interest. There are people who are really into gardening and looking at plants, and so they come primarily to see what's growing and what's blooming and how someone has landscaped their particular house. And then other people are only interested in the art, don't know anything about gardening, and they come to look at that. A couple of years ago, I had my work at a garden, and I was near the entrance, and someone came in, and she said, "Oh, would you look? There's art in this garden." And she had been so focused on the fact that it was a garden tour,
right,
that she had ignored the fact that it said art in the garden.
Well, Wanda and Jan, you are both artists. And Wanda, can you maybe tell us a little bit about some of the art that people might be finding in these gardens?
Yes, there will be at least 18 artists. And because there are so many different artists who will be there, the work is as varied as the gardens are. There's painting, jewelry, weaving, fiber arts that goes in many directions because we have those who do baskets, those who do wall hangings. Many of them incorporate other things other than reeds into their artwork. And then there's the fabric artists that do everything from pot holders to king-size quilts and wall hangings that are works of art, not just a bed covering. There's wood turning. I'm a gourd artist, so that's my connection to gardens. Mm. I have the plant material. There's glass work.
Well, photography.
Photography,
oh,
yes.
There you go. Well, we talk a lot about, obviously, on this show about gardening and about all the inputs that you need, whether we're talking about soil or water. But we forget that there is that artistic balance when we start talking about landscape design and bringing in all of these elements. So art and gardens are not that really far connected. I mean, they're more closely connected than anything. And when you talk about different art pieces, I just kind of envision like glass or some kind,
yeah,
of ornaments or some kind of sun catchers that you would add to an existing garden to be able to incorporate all those elements. So I think that's a very close association. A lot of my pieces home are, of course, botanical pieces that I have. That's just me. But give me a kind of a guideline of what to expect when we get to the tour of gardens. Like, how is it laid out, and how are people going to kind of go through the different garden tours? Self-guided tour, or we have people kind of showing around specimen plants?
Well, when you turn onto Picacho Hills Drive, mm-hmm, off of Route 70, you'll see tall red flags and signs that say Art in the Garden, and you'll stop at a tent in the commercial area near the bottom of the hill, pick up a map, and from there you look at the gardens that are listed and the artist and type of art and decide where you want to start. When you get to the gardens, there'll be a master gardener in each garden, as well as the homeowners who know about their own plants and what their goals were in planting as they did. There'll be the artists there displaying their work, and I would like to mention that in order to display, it has to be juried.
Oh.
We expect it to be fine art, not
something that somebody put together with macaroni in their backyard.
Yes.
Well, Picacho Hills, we need to point out, is in Las Cruces, and as you were saying, it's off of Highway 70. So in case maybe people who like to travel up to southern New Mexico quite frequently, you just take I-10 and you take the motel exit, and at that point you can – are there signs to point people in the right direction?
There are – we no. need to look into that. There should
there
be.
Are not.
You will head west on
okay.
on US 70. And Picacho will be the second traffic signal past the Rio Grande or the Rio Sand, as it is right now.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the gardens that are going to be featured, because I remember we had somebody talking about the art in the garden a few years ago, and it wasn't just, for example, a native plant garden. Some people had different examples of different types of gardens, like somebody had a more English type of garden. Jan, can you tell us a little bit more?
I certainly can. We try to get the six gardens as different from each other as can be, and I think this year we've done a particularly good job of that. Two gardens have swimming pools. Several gardens have fountains. But the garden I'm thinking of with this large swimming pool has a mammoth fountain water feature with water coming
wow.
down into the pool. And there's almost nothing blooming in that garden. It is exquisitely landscaped. The design of it is what you will be seeing in that garden. Mm. There's a lot of rock work. There are terraces and just shrubs, a lot of native shrubs here and there. And it just, it's a classic-looking garden. Another garden has so many blooms, you are just amazed at the color. And as you said, it's more like an English garden and lots of pots with things blooming, trees overhanging, blooming trees, just amazing amounts of color. And yet a third garden that is totally different from the first two is full of cactus and succulents. And they are blooming right now. We hope some are still blooming on May 18th. Can't promise that, but just barrel cactus, little tiny cactus, huge cactus. There's a stone cactus that's a waterfall feature with lights. And that garden is, again, just so different. But it's just amazing that you can see that many cactus being taken care of and blooming that far north, because a lot of them are for the more southern Arizona, Mexico area. But this gardener is able to, by covering with blankets and things all winter, taking care of them.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of metal sculpture in that garden. Mm. So, you know, one garden won't have any, and the next garden will have a real lot.
Right.
Well, I think that's a terrific way to sort of expose to people all the different ways that a landscape can be made beautiful while still be environmentally friendly without being such a water waster. We know there's a lot of people who love to have lush green grass and grow
right.
plants that may not necessarily thrive here. But I think it's a really great variety of neighborhoods or of homes that have these terrific landscapes. And I think it's a really great way for people to go and perhaps educate themselves if they don't maybe really know about how to landscape a certain part of their yard. These homes would be terrific examples of how they might be able to apply that type of landscaping ethic to what they might want to try at home.
And there's a lot of landscape design principles like color selection, repetition, balance that are in, that go into planning a landscape. So taking those elements out there and then seeing how they're actually laid out in a landscape is really important as well. I would like to encourage people to look out for examples of maybe some passive rainwater harvesting with some dry arroyos in that area to maybe to capture any kind of rainwater on there. Definitely the use of color and how using hot or warm colors like the reds and the yellows, how that would work in one particular garden and really an open space, a larger space. But if you have a maybe a cozy little niche garden, maybe your blues and your periwinkle colors are going to be much more better for that smaller garden space. So all of these different elements that people kind of think about, look at magazines or kind of walk through aisles of the nurseries, if they can really see that plant in the right location, configured correctly, I think that really adds as an educational piece that people can take this away and say, hey, I can do this in my garden by pulling these different elements together.
And Wanda, you were saying earlier that the art in the garden is juried. Is it also going to be available for sale?
Yes, it will be.
But how are the homes chosen for this, Jan? Can you let us know? I know there's a great garden club there, the Picacho Hills Gardeners. And did they maybe just draw straws as to whose garden was going to be featured in this tour?
Not at all. We have a committee and we visit the garden. Well, first off, we ask for people to send in recommendations. You know, if you've seen your neighbor's garden or your own that you think is ready to show, to let us know. And once we get the list, then we visit the gardens and just look for variety and look for someone who's done something special. We go in before the week before the garden show and label the plants so that if you see something that would go in your garden, then you don't have to ask. The label is right there. Or if you have questions about it, then the master gardener at that garden will be happy to tell you how best to put that plant in your own.
So how many homes are going to be featured in this tour, Wanda?
There will be six.
Six homes, and each of those homes are going to be featuring work by 18 artists. And so those works of art will, again, be for sale. And will we invite people to view these beautiful homes and artwork at the Art in the Garden Tour? It's happening on Sunday, May the 18th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And Jan, is there somebody that maybe if our listeners are interested in contacting somebody, who would they call?
They would call, well, you could call me, Jan Harrison, or Marilyn Hansen is one of the co-chairs of this event. My number would be 541-9284.
Area code 575.
Area code 575, yes, of course.
And Wanda, what's your contact information?
575 again, 523-1740. And also we do have Artists of Picacho Hills website, and information is posted there, as well as an Artists of Picacho Hills Facebook page, which will be having pictures of gardens and artwork for preview.
Nice. Well, that's terrific. So we also have some information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org in case people are interested. And Wanda Sparks and Jan Harrison, we want to thank you so much for coming into the studio and talking about art in the garden today.
Our pleasure.
We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.